You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we learn about the wonders of Finnish home cooking on today's edition of Food Friday.
Right now, even with social media and smartphones, some parents are unsure about how to best communicate with their grown children once they're in their late teens or early 20s. Our next guest has ideas about how to make sure the lines of communication stay open for both parents and their out-of-the-nesters.
Lori Zarrell joins us now. She's the family living educator for UW Extension Pierce County. Lori, welcome to Central Time.
Hello.
Well, Lori, what communication challenges come up when kids leave home for the first time?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is knowing how much to communicate, actually, and how to communicate. You know, when your child is still at home, you've got kind of a routine. You know, you communicate somewhat on a daily face-to-face communication, as well as digitally with today's devices and other ways to communicate. So it's kind of finding that balance between how much communication is enough and how do you want to communicate.
And I suppose parents might feel like, you know, a lot of communication is enough to them, whereas sometimes their children might think something different. A lower amount of communication is what is better for them or what they think feels right. So how do you kind of weigh the difference and get to a happy middle ground?
Yeah, sometimes it's by trial and error, but you have a better chance of making some kind of agreement if you talk about it ahead of time and have clear expectations and a game plan about what you'd like. You know, maybe the parent can talk about what would seem good for them, and the student should be able to tell, you know, I really don't want to hear from you every day. And a parent shouldn't be defensive when they're listening to the wants of their young adult.
How do you start that conversation before it's, you know, not a crucial moment where people are sort of heated about it? How do you get there ahead of time?
Yeah, I think it starts even before, you know, your young adult moves out of the home. You just sit down and have that face-to-face conversation. You know, what would seem appropriate? What kinds of things do you want to hear about? And mostly, like I said, some of it's going to be trial and error. And I've launched three young adult children, and I just made it known that, you know, if I'm bothering you or you don't like something, you're free to tell me. And believe me, a couple of them did.
Yeah, so how did that go over? I mean, this is what you do for a living. You should be pretty good at this, but was it still a little
tense? Yeah, you think so, but it's a little different sometimes when it's your own kids. And, you know, one of mine was fairly tactful and just said, you know, Mom, if you need to know, I'll let you know. That was his way of saying, you know, back off.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, I have another child who just came right out and said, you know, I really don't need to know this, or you don't need to worry about me. So, but then again, like I said, you can't get defensive. You have to, you know, kind of gauge what's going to work. And oftentimes when they first leave the home, you know, the communication kind of ebbs and flows. You've got some storm weather and calmer zones, and you start out kind of with that barrage of calls and texts and emails during those early launching years. But it you know, it kind of balances, and does emerging adults, you know, get their bearings and build their new networks, and those communications usually drop off, and that's a good thing.
I mean, I suppose it's easiest if you have open lines of communication where people don't get you know, easily upset or offended early on rather than when they're at that age. So how early should you start really practicing healthy communication and letting the doors be open? Is this something that begins in junior high or younger?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say you start when they're infants. but, yeah, in terms of expectations, especially with the new digital media options that are out there, you know, start as soon as you're allowing your child to use them, and talk more beyond just, you know, how would you like to communicate, but it's about digital citizenry and how to be respectful and responsible as communicators as well.
Well, we do have, you know, the era of smartphones is upon us, of technology and social media. How do you think that's changed things?
Yeah, well, I think it's changed things, both positively and negatively sometimes. I think back to when, I was growing up, and I'm watching the snow outside my window. I mean, if you ended up in a ditch somewhere coming home someone at night, you had to walk to somebody's house to try to get help. So that instant communication option is wonderful when it comes for, a crisis situation or, a real need. But it also can become overbearing if you're a parent that's constantly barraging your child with, I can just see it right today, these parents texting their adult children, "Be careful on your way home from work today." So, they're young adults. They need to experience some failures, and they shouldn't have their parents, hovering over their every move, even from a distance.
Well, I can also imagine that because communication is instantaneous now with texting, that as a parent, you might fire off a text and maybe you're not doing much. Your child might be busy and they might not get back to you right away. And then you can get that, "Where are you? Text me. What's going on?" kind of a volley of texts.
Absolutely. And if you have a tendency to over-worry to begin with, it makes it even more unbearable as a parent. But that goes back then to having that conversation about, if I text you and I don't hear back from you, how long should I wait before I worry? And sometimes parents can develop a sort of a second sense about when their grown children need encouragement or whether they just want to be alone to figure things out on their own. But sometimes an unexpected, unexplained silence can be a sign of trouble. So you kind of have to, again, it's all about that balance, understand, what's normal, what do they prefer, and when should I start worrying?
Lori Zierl is with us right now. She's family living educator for UW Extension Pierce County. And we're talking about how parents can optimize the way that they communicate with their college-age children when they leave the nest. And you said there can be a sixth sense that develops for some parents, so they know if things go quiet that it's maybe time to step in and check on their child. But some parents may not ever develop that. So do you have any hints about how to be sensitive to what's going on, to the dynamics?
Yeah, I think that having a mix of communication pathways, so you're not just always texting or always emailing, if that's the case, but having a personal conversation once in a while to try to gauge, in addition to the kind of no responses, if there might be something else going on.
And what about scheduling a phone call saying, "Look, I'm not going to bug you, but we need to talk every Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, it's a good idea if that's the choice that your young adult chooses. I've got three young adults, and I actually have one of my children who chooses to call me every Sunday night. He's an adult with his own family, and that still works out. It started when he went to college, and it still kind of works out for us. But both of us have the understanding that if he doesn't call or something comes up, that it's nothing to get distressed about.
Do your kids ever worry about you? Does this ever kind of flip around where they say, "Mom, I've been trying to get a hold of you, and it's snowing. What's going on?"
Yes, it does. And I think that, we have to be cognizant of that, too. It's not just us worrying about them. If there's been a change in a routine around communication or several days have gone by and they haven't heard from you, they can get just as concerned for our health and safety as well. So, that does happen.
Do you think it's at all helpful for parents to have phone numbers, emails for their child's friends so that if there is ever a moment where people are out of contact and it is worrisome that they have somewhere to go? I mean, is there a way to do that without being nosy?
I think you probably could, but it would be something that I would do up front, again, in a conversation and not, calling their friends behind their back and saying, "Can I just have your phone number just in case?" It would be a really purposeful conversation about, is there somebody that you'd want to share a number with me just in case I'm trying to get a hold of you or if you would lose your phone and something happens that I need to get a hold of you. So, no, I don't think that's out of line.
What do you hear from the families that you work with about how often this kind of territory that we're talking about can be negotiated successfully, and how often there are kind of some bumps in the road?
Yeah, actually, several years ago, some colleagues and I created a curriculum called The College Transition, and we actually talked quite a bit about communication and, again, having that conversation up front about how you expect to communicate and how it changes over time and how that's okay. You know, like I said, the more conversations up front and how it eases off. And once you know they're settling comfortably and things are going well, you don't, you know, worry quite as much. But, you just have to realize that things change as people change. And just because you have that ability to be in touch, you know, 24/7, doesn't mean it's necessary. And sometimes it's even harmful.
So would you say for parents out there who might be going through this, who might be worried about it, that the ground does level off and you can get to a better place even though things change?
Right. Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's not just about communication. You know, if your children are leaving for the first time, you know, it's your own loneliness sometimes that kind of takes over and makes you feel compelled to communicate with them. So maybe now what you need to do is start a new hobby or spend some more time with friends and other family to take place of having that loss really in your life.
Lori, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Lori Zierl is the family living educator for UW Extension Pierce County. She joined us to talk about how parents can optimize the way they communicate with their kids once the kids leave the nest.
Coming up after the news, it's Food Friday. We'll talk to baker extraordinaire Beatrice Ojikangas about her new book, Homemade, Finish Rye, Feed Sack Fashion, and Other Simple Ingredients for My Life and Food. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.